Marvel Strike Force is a very weird place right now. A bunch of issues going on. We're going to talk about those issues, review some of the issues from this past week, plus talk about some positives as well, and predictions for the early 2021 roadmap that should be coming in a few weeks. I'm discussing that with my brother Goofy Rexy, and if you're ready for your Marvel Strike Force weekly news update, Goofy Rexy, brother, tell him what to do.
Hey, Valley, let's get ranked higher than number 10.
Valley flying.
Oh, yeah. What is up, Valley Maniacs? I am Valley flying. I am back. I am joined by my brother Goofy Rexy for your Marvel Strike Force weekly news update. If it's your first time here, make sure you subscribe for more great content and hit that notification bell so you get notified as soon as a new video is uploaded. But I am here with Goofy. How are you doing, my brother?
Man, I am chilling, feeling good. A lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of stuff going on in MSF, but I'm good. I'm hanging in there.
Yes, and you did get ranked higher than number 10, my friend. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but a little bit of disclaimer. There's rolling power outages where I am. The internet is up and down. So we're not recording this video in the typical way. I can't see you. You can't see me. I can't see your screen. You can't see mine. So there may be some weird delays. There may be some weird interruptions. So that is what we're going on. But we're making do, guys. We're making do with what we have. And before we get onto all that, let me give you a shout out, my brother. Top 10 Marvel mobile game YouTubers. This is the 23rd edition. I did come in at number 10, and I'm back on the list. I didn't place the list, but congratulations to you coming in at number 9 for the month. Ooh, ooh. Awesome stuff there. How does it feel to be number 9, my friend?
You know, it just brings tears to my eyes. You know, mama, I made it. I made it, mama.
I can't see if you're cheering, but it brings a tear to my eye to know that you're cheering and you've made it on this. All right, but let's start. There's a lot of things we can talk about, a lot of negative things we can talk about. Let's start with something positive, my friend. We're talking about the Axemen. I think this is one of the more positive things to come to Marvel Strike Force over the past couple weeks. I think this is a great team. I'm using them in the raids. Jubilee looks good. Bishop, yeah. This whole team looks very good. They synergize well with each other. Are you using the Axemen right now?
Oh, yes, I am.
Nice.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on them now that you've got to play with them for a little over a week now with that full team? Jubilee, you probably use them a bunch of raids.
Yeah.
How are they performing for you?
They are so good. They are, I feel to a certain extent, they were under advertised, you know, when it comes to, which is weird, right? Because, you know, that's not been the case with some of these teams, but man.
Not all the teams, you're right.
This team is solid. Using them in raids, using them in war. They're only 219k, and they're doing punch ups on some teams in war. And they are, I'm doing difficulty three right now, new seven, and they're running. You know, they're running the lane, so I'm feeling pretty good about them right now.
Okay, a couple follow up questions. That was going to be one of my follow ups. You said that they're 217k right now.
219k.
219. Yeah. Okay. And you're an ultimate 7.3. What is how you said you're running the lanes? Are you going all the way up to the final boss with that really low team and beating it, or certain mini bosses? How far are you getting?
So I'm getting all the way up to the boss node, and this was a absolute shocker to me. I got to the boss node with them, and they were able to take out four of the tombs. I think they took out CM Korath and CM Korath.
Tree, oh, that's
Noble.
No joke.
Yeah,
that's no joke. That CM, final boss node is tough.
Yeah, but I think it was like the damage reduction, you know, from Bishop. Like, and I think I got lucky with offense up and defense up, you know, from Beast. They are so good. I can't wait to get them higher than what they are right now.
Yeah, so I'm right about 350k. Took him with the ultimate 7.5 today. Norm, they've been performing pretty good up until some of the final mini boss and that last boss. Well, took him in, finally got him to the 350k today. Took him into that final boss and was just expecting kind of a sacrifice team. Throw him in there, see what they do. Yeah. And then follow up by Symbiotes. They did very well. The node was hit before, but I got down to like one enemy remaining before they finally died. And it was a 350k team, final boss in Ultima 7. I was not expecting that. They are performing well above their advertised value. I was not expecting this as well. Although their kits did look pretty solid on paper. Right. We've seen solid kits on paper before that didn't really perform as well in the game. These guys, I think, are performing very well. And we're going to talk about a lot of negatives in the game right now, but I think this is one of the shining spots in the game is this Axeman team. Let me follow this up and ask you, who is your favorite mutant right now? Because when I think of mutants, James Rhodey Rhodes does not necessarily pop into my head right now. But is he your favorite mutant? I don't know if he's mine, honestly.
I mean, if we're talking about my favorite mutant in the game, according to Marvel Strike Force, War Machine, Rhodey is my guy.
Did you buy this 99-cent offer for his orb? Because, I mean, all his mutant powers are so strong.
I mean, listen, he got a boost. So, you know,
real talk. Who is your favorite Astonishing X-Men out of this team?
my favorite X-Men right now got to be Bishop, man. You guys already know, Wolverine is my favorite Marvel character, or one of my favorite Marvel characters, period. He's right under Thor for me. So favorite mutant character, I would say, in Marvel, period. But in the game right now, I absolutely love Bishop. He's a boss, man. Bishop is a boss.
Bishop, mine is only 4 stars, and he's doing a ton of damage in Ultimus. I'm not expecting him to do a lot of damage at 4 stars, but he's handling the second toughest raid besides the Doom raids in Marvel Strike Force. I take that back. I forgot the Greek raids are pretty hard as well. So a very hard raid. Not one of anyway.
We know what you're saying.
I hope so. I'm a little off today because I can't see you, Goofy.
It's all good, baby.
All right, but let's talk about this. Let's talk about more positives because like I said, there's a lot of negatives that we can discuss here. But one of the positives, we got compensation for some of the bugs. We got compensation for the erroneous Miles Blitz and the erroneous Iceman Blitz from last week. We got the full 21 shards. I was worried they would give some shards to some people, some shards, different shard amount. We got the full 21, which is good because some people were able to claim this, and there was reports some people getting different amounts. So the people that were able to claim all these did not get that. Is that the same reports that you are hearing, or was that just on the live stream and some people getting some things?
Yeah, so I think I don't know. I think everyone who was probably able to complete the Blitz, right, at least get all the milestones, I think they weren't able to get any sort of compensation for it. But I think if you hadn't completed the Blitz, then you got the 21 shards and the Blitz credits and all that. And the gold, the gold was welcome. 310,000 gold. I appreciated
times two, because we got one for Miles and we got one for Iceman as well, right?
So and the 21 shards for Iceman gets me close to being able to get a 5-star Iceman, so I'm feeling pretty good about that right now. Nice. This is really good compensation. And remember too, I think it was the previous week, we got some ISO compensation as well.
Because one of the nodes wasn't working. I wasn't sure what that was for. We got that. I'm like, oh, was this because of a different bug? And we're going to talk about it, the different bug that's not been solved yet. But it was for a separate bug that was in ISO 8 that I didn't even realize was going on. So that was some welcome compensation as well. So it's not all doom and gloom at Scopely, but we're going to talk about a lot of it coming up right now, brother. Let's get into it. Let's talk about this Lunar Crap Fest. This is a pretty bad event. And it got made a slightly less painful. Instead of spending the crazy amount of 5,000 cores per day to get all the maximum rewards, you got to spend the crazy amount of 3,000 cores per day to get the max rewards. Let me get your reaction to when you first saw this come out, and then to this response that I'm showing on screen that I know you can't see from Cerebro about the news, I guess the rework to it. I don't know what to call it. The feedback and the changes to this system.
Right.
What did you see when you first saw 5,000 cores per day? Are they crazy?
That was my response.
That was the response. All right.
I guess we're
in alignment on this one, brother.
Yeah, like, are you insane? You've got to be kidding me, right?
So one of the weird things here for when reading player feedback regarding the event in the highest milestone, lofty and unrealistic, while this intention was for those top tier milestones to be a reward for only a select few players who wanted to contribute the extra for their alliance via cheerful conversation, we understand it could be easily perceived as a goal we wanted all players to reach. What do you think of this? I mean, it's combined with the peer pressure of your alliance, spending cores. Some people on alliance might be spending a lot of cores, but some people might be light spenders. And those high spenders might be peer pressuring the light spenders into doing something else. Do you feel that that has happened in your alliance, or most alliancers are just like, whatever, this event sucks, we're sorry?
Yeah, I think you can kind of group it into two categories, right? You have the ones who are high spenders in this game that, you know, still definitely didn't like the 5,000 portion of it, but then also had the opportunity, now that they reduced it to 3K, you know, that seemed a little bit more, and I'm being super facetious when I say that, by the way.
The low price of 3,000 cores is awesome. Right.
It's the 3,000. It's almost like you made it really crap and then you reduced it, and it's like, I guess I accept this one now.
That's instead of $60 a day, it's $40 a day. My goodness. Right. What are people complaining about at this point?
Right. Exactly. So I think you have people who are just like high spenders who are like, okay, well, 3,000 is a lot more attainable. You have people who are probably in the middle who are just like, listen, I'm not going to go, you know, I just honestly can't do this. And you have people who are like myself who don't spend a lot of money in the game who are just like, listen, man, it's going to be a no for me, dog. I'm going to give you like my original 250. And if you give me the extra 100 cores, I'm going to go in that direction. I'm going to spend the 350 cores because this is crazy. And I'm thinking about it from the perspective of we got White Tiger at some point coming into the game, right?
Oh, my
God. I got to save my cores for that.
This should have been concurrent with that. There's nothing to spend cores on that's good in the game. And then how are you going to spend 3,000 cores? What would you spend on some energy refreshes? Maybe a story refresh? Maybe if you're really looking to really spend cores, a character node refresh. What else is there that's worth these 3,000 cores or 5,000 cores to spend it on a game? I don't see anything. Every time I'm looking like, all right, I can spend some cores to get these milestones. What do I spend it on? There's nothing good to spend it on. So I don't know what this is a baffling event for me. Now, let me not just focus on the bad, because this rework was pretty good. We got all those gear 14 uniques in the upfront part of that, so it got better. They're giving us 100 cores per day for the duration of the event. So even if you're not partaking, your alliance is not doing this event, you're still getting 100 cores per day. So it's not all bad, but mostly bad.
Yeah, because from an individual perspective, right? I mean, what are you really getting from the 3,000 cores? It's really all about the alliance stuff. Like, it's really nothing that you personally are really gaining from it, you know, other than, you get a couple, what do you get, like two or three armory 15 orbs, you know, if you do it over the 9 days. Yeah. It doesn't feel great. And, you know, this is the reason why I think for me, I took a step back, because I'm like, okay, well, the G15s, sure, this is great for people who are doing later game content, but what are they really getting, you know, earlier than that? You get a couple of SBCs, you get a variety of gear, but from a purple gear perspective, but it really seems like it's really geared towards later game players, which is kind of the frustration aspect of it, because this is not an event that encompasses everyone. It's just an event that is really just, it seems to be geared towards, you know, later game players.
Or like a lot of community on Reddit is speculating, this event is to make us spend our power cores before the White Tiger event comes up, so we have no power cores for the White Tiger, and we'll have to buy some just to refresh to unlock that character.
That could be one too, right? A lot of speculation.
not a good event to have running, and especially with all these other issues that are going on with Marvel Strike Force right now. Dark Dimension 4. This was changed up during the update. Node 4 was made a lot harder. Extra black bolts, extra, I think it's another Jessica Jones in there, but a lot more resistance for these characters. And that kind of screws up people that took in Ghost for this. Now, luckily, we got this messaging here from Zeke's that it was reverted. And what do you think? Do you think that they got caught? Or do you think it's like this is actually saying in this message that, it was a mistake. We just mistakenly added specific characters that make it hard. We just mistakenly added the resistance that made it hard. Where's your head leaning? Was this a mistake or was this planned?
I'm leaning towards mistake. At how many other bugs they have in this game. I mean, how can I not look at this as another mistake? By the way,
all right. Maybe it's my tinfoil hat going on too hard because I was like, hey, this cannot be a mistake. I'll stay in the positive with you. This is a mistake and got corrected.
Oh, let's not make it positive. It's a mistake that they repeatedly make mistakes. Well, that's the problem.
Well, a mistake at least doesn't have malice. If they purposely did this, which I'm still very suspicious about, I got to be honest. but, you know, with all this thing, more positive than being malicious about it, let me say.
Right.
Something accidental is more positive than being malicious. So.
Still feels bad regardless, right?
I mean, it's just bad regardless. All right, but let's go to let's talk about the big thing, the big blog post, the thing that we've been waiting for so long. A response finally from Scopely, acknowledging the community feedback. Now this came out late. I think it normally for me and I'm in Central Time. Normally comes out around 4:00. This came out around 9:00, 9:30 for me. Yep. So. Many, many hours late, Cerebro was hard at work typing this statement. Before we get into some of the specifics of it, what was your overall impression? What was your overall feeling after reading this blog post?
Overall feeling for me was, you know, it's a lot of words. I feel like I have to decipher the code. It left me feeling a little. I was underwhelmed by it, right? I think a lot. I was on stream when this went live, so I was actually talking directly to, you know, the chat on Twitch, you know, about hey, what's going on and how they feel about it, and you know, kind of just gathering my own thoughts as well. And I felt like in a lot of ways, at first I was like, this is all towards late game players, which it does definitely seem that way. You know, but I gave them a little bit of a credit that they did talk about how they went to many corners of the community. So I gave them a little bit of a leeway where that's concerned. But then when you look at the meat of it all, there's a lot of things that seem very late game friendly. Orange gear, you know, talking about Doom raids, you know, which definitely is an issue. RTA, but not addressed in the way that I think RTA needs to be addressed for players who are just entering into that game.
There's a lot to discuss about RTA. That's a whole other section. There's so much to talk about.
I'll save the extra.
There's so much that was unaddressed in this blog post that we need to discuss.
Yeah, it's everything in this blog post it didn't really seem to really touch on a lot of the major issues that we have. Like this just. And I was just surprised that the biggest one that they said the most pressing concern was orange gear. And I was like, who's that the most pressing concern to? But yeah, that was just
it's not. Not even for me. I don't even for the Alliance cluster leaders that were in discussions. That was not the biggest priority for them either. I'm not sure, but I guess the wording is this is what we think is the most pressing, right? As someone says, to acknowledge some of the highest priorities issues, given as many and how we're kind of planning to address them. Our intention is to publish track. These are the things that you expect to see. All right. So, but I do want to address one of these sentences here that kind of got the community going against each other. We've been in discussions with leaders from some of the top alliances regarding their concerns with the economy. We've been finding their feedback immensely valuable. So this was kind of misleading. The community wanted me to, right, that Scopely didn't reach out to community. Community reached out to Scopely. And I think a lot of players were saying, hey, we aren't represented with our mid game or alliances. We're not represented with our larger alliances, and let me just go to one of the responses from Cerebro about this. Scopely, don't just talk to the top players only. Cerebro's response, and this was from Valentine's Day is Sunday. We're listening to feedback coming from many different platforms and many levels of players. Most MSF content creators also have a direct line to us, and we ask them often for feedback, not just from their perspective, from their viewers as well. Our surveys go out to all levels of players. That's another place we gather feedback. We want players of all types, of all levels, to be represented. So I guess the surveys are talking about the in-game surveys that happen every now and then. But that's one thing that what is your response to this? Because I know you're kind of a mid-game player, and you've started a newer account. So you have a good perspective from the mid-game and newer player perspective. Do you think that you were represented in this blog post? I know you mentioned orange gear, but I don't think anybody that saw orange gear is a huge issue. Not early or later game players, but what did you think about that sentence there about discussing with top alliance leaders?
Yeah, so I pretty much basically kind of sided or felt the same way that the rest of a lot of the community felt, right? You know, for beginner players, I feel like there's a lot that, and we can get into that stuff, I guess we'll probably talk about a little bit later, but I felt the same way. Like a lot of this, like all the things that were in the blog post seemed very late game friendly, top alliance friendly, even though to a certain extent, I'm gonna be honest with you too, there's a lot of things that even in top alliances that were not that I would assume that would be issues for top alliances were also not covered in this blog post. That's why I said that I feel like this thing was just like a bunch of words, a bunch of fluff. There wasn't really any meat to it. The 3 weeks thing still bothers me, even though the top alliance things bothers me too. So it's a lot to talk about.
We'll get into the 3 week thing. The early 2021 preview coming out in 3 weeks is what they said. Now they did say this in 2020, and they gave us a response much sooner than that. So I'm hoping that's what happens here. But a lot of what the clusters are talking about is catch-up mechanics. So it's not just, so what they're talking about is not just for the higher levels. And they said that a lot of their concerns that they sent to Cerebro and Scopely were not addressed in the blog post. And some things that they didn't even talk about were addressed in the blog post. So it's kind of a mix and match here. And they did give me a statement that they wanted me to send out to community, because they are the people that are sending and communicating with Scopely. They are leaders of alliance clusters that feature a wide variety of alliances, some top end alliances that have requirements of over 10 million TCP. And then other alliances in that same cluster with less than 2 million. So wide variety of alliances. And these are some of the bigger clusters in the game. And their statement was, there's an army behind the scenes of players of all levels of the game fighting to have your voices heard and to prove both the state of the game and the progression system. The choke points are strangling us all. The glitchy game bugs, the low quality screen time efforts making this thing we love into a frustrating chore we all feel compelled to go through each and every day. We all want a smooth gaming experience. We all want to feel valued by the company, which we devote so much time, money, and headspace to. Do you feel you're being valued by Scopely right now?
No, it's a loaded question, right? No,
I loaded it on paper.
and the reason why I say the reason why I said it's a loaded question is because it's, yes, to a certain extent, do I want them to value me individually? Not necessarily, but I want them to look at the community as a whole and think about it from that perspective. And yes, it's, you got to hit all phases, right? It's not about just retaining who you have at the top. It's also about bringing in, you know, newer players and also retaining them too, or mid-game players, addressing issues there. So I don't think that they value overall, I would say, players that are playing before late game. And this is no shot at you. I think that they're, and it's not even you per se, it's more I think that they just have their priorities kind of in the weird place, and I just think that they kind of just need to address it and kind of take ask me, you know, what exactly it is that you think that we're experiencing because I'm doing a beginner account to gain the beginner experience. I can understand, you know, what their pain points are as well, right? And, you know, I'm hearing a lot of them, and they're not really feeling as if they're represented in the best way, or that they're taken care of in the best way as well.
Well, one of the things that you were talking about before we started recording, on your brand new account, you feel like it's very hard to progress. You're really not able to get anywhere as a brand new player in the current with a current system. So catch-up mechanics is something that should be pretty valuable for newer players, because, you know, the whales obviously pay the bills over at Scopely. They spend the money. They're the ones that make the game profitable. But without free-to-play players, there's nobody for them to compete against. Right. So you need this game fun for free-to-play players. You need an influx of new players that want to keep continuing to play and invest your time and, you know, build up their rosters so that you have someone to compete against. And I think that may be missing a little bit in the Scopely business plan. I don't know if it's on purpose or not, but it seems that way. I don't know if it is, but it definitely, the perception is that it seems that way. Let's talk about some of the more specifics of this blog post, though, brother. Let's talk about orange gear. That's the first thing they mentioned. One thing that Tony noticed when we were doing our live reaction was that they said that the game isn't yet at the point where orange gear should be as accessible as blue or purple gear, but it has moved to the point where non-unique orange gear shouldn't be as tight as it is today. So what they're going to do as far as what their plans are, updating the raid milestone system to include more rewards, which is so bad. I found it humorous that this was included in this whole new bullet point about raid milestones, because there's so many issues in the game, and that's what we're choosing to bullet point there. Increasing the quality available or quantity available from supply stores, raid stores, and a new feature that they're highlighting in their upcoming blog post that's coming in 3 weeks or so. What is your take on orange gear? And is this a big bottleneck for you that needs to be corrected? Or are there other more pressing bottlenecks you feel that need to be corrected?
Yeah, I mean, orange gear, to a certain extent, yes, it is. There are some things that need to be corrected. You know, certain things like alien spores are still difficult. You have isomers. They're unstable molecules, like those sort of pieces of orange gear definitely, I think, shouldn't be as big of a chokehold as they are right now. I mean, you go through Dark Dimension 3 and, you know, I've done that twice and I got the screenshots for the gear that I got in that area, right? I feel like it should be more, you know, for going through something that's just so grueling. And then, of course, I feel like it should be available in other areas. But it's not just about orange gear. You know, there's a lot of purple gear that's also an issue, too. I mean, blue gear is also an issue as well for earlier players. You know, T2s are a massive issue, you know, for beginner players right now. You know, that you don't get them in campaign nodes. Like, there's a lot of other issues that I think that they need to address other than orange gear. That's why I laughed when I literally snickered when I saw one of the most pressing concerns. I'm like, yeah, child, please, no.
Yes, orange gear. Yeah, I think purple gear, I think, is a concern that affects players at all ABCs. Levels of the game. Maybe not the brand new player, but, you know, after you got to a certain point, I think purple gear is a thing that people are still having trouble farming. And is that a bottleneck that needs to be eased up? I mean, there should be some bottlenecks in the game. Yep. But you know, when a new one comes in, I feel that they should ease up on some. And they're bringing in new ones, and not really easing up on a lot of them, like the blue gear. Like those old training mats, the blues and the purples. As I've been, you know, as someone that's been playing this game for a while, we've been doing these raids for a while, we have an overabundance of these blue and purple ability mats. Not as much T4 and T4 mats, but this is something that newer and mid-game players don't have an overabundance of. They should ease up a lot of these blue and purple ability mats so that you can upgrade your abilities just to get that character usable. Because some of these characters, not even usable until you get the T4 in there. And if you're not even getting the blue and the purple stuff in, that's a huge bottleneck that I think should be eased up. And then this one right here, training modules, another huge bottleneck that most people either have a training module bottleneck, a gold bottleneck, or both. What are you experiencing right now on your new account and on your mid account?
Yeah, so on my main account, that's probably where I'm feeling the biggest chokehold is really the main account. When it comes to training modules.
Training modules.
Training modules, yeah. Gold, I guess I technically could have an issue with gold, but I'm so frugal. I only spend like 800K to like 1.2 every single day.
Okay.
But that's because I think it's a chokehold. It's just that I'm managing that chokehold. Training mats, though, it's difficult for me to manage that because there are new characters, new teams that come in, you know, and based on where I'm at in the game right now, I need more G14s. And I got to get them to level 75 in order to be able to do that. So training modules are becoming really tight. You know, for me, I just finished Dark Dimension 3 and, you know, I had to bring up my Black Order team, the gear tier 14, you know, and now I'm trying to push my way into get into Dark Dimension 4. G15 is its own sort of bottleneck, but I'm okay with that because that's new. But certain things like 14, like we're talking about training modules, right? For training modules, I don't understand why we can't have purple training modules yet in campaign notes, at least the later campaign notes. I don't get why that's still a bottleneck or why we can't double the amount of training modules, the blues and the greens. Like, why can't we double that amount that you're getting from training modules? The idea here of them wanting to put it into mode specific stores. So that's another currency that we're going to have a strain on too. I don't get it.
There's been some talk on Reddit about just removing the training modules altogether. Would you be in favor of that?
No, I think you got to have some sort of a system in place, right? I just think that they just need to release, you know, the more difficulty, you know, that it is right now. You should still have something to manage. It's just it shouldn't be as bad as it is right now.
Yeah, there's a lot to manage. I mean, training modules have been an issue for me for a long time now. Gold, I feel, at least for me, where I'm in a game, gold has not been an issue for a little while. What is it like for you at your brand new account, though, that you're playing? What is the situation with gold and training match situation on that brand new account?
So I'm having more of an issue with ability mats than I am on my main account than I am with training match. Training match...
All kind of bottlenecks for all over the game. Oh, my goodness. Depending where you're in game, there's some crazy bottleneck that's just preventing progress. And in the serial collector games, you want to see progress of your roster. And if you don't see that progress, it's like, what is the point? Why am I doing all this grinding if I'm not getting a lot of progress? And that's kind of holding things back. One thing I forgot to cover about this gear, though, one thing that I'm really noticing, you know, that the superior uniques, the things that take you up to gear 13, like you mentioned, the alien spores, adamantium, those things are in very, very short supply. But the gear 14 uniques, because of the Doom campaigns, I got a lot of those. And then there's not a lot of gear 15 uniques. So I think that's kind of backwards. I think we should be able to get up to gear 13 a little easier. Gear 14 seems pretty easy with the overabundance of those gear 14 uniques. And then gear 15, I think it should have that bottleneck that we have right now in those gear 15s. But it's weird how they distributed this. It should have been a lot of those other things going into Doom campaigns, but I think they're trying to get people into Dark Dimension 3. That's why they rushed those in, and it kind of screwed things up for now. It's like they're solving immediate issues, fixing those, but they don't really look at the long-term ramifications of that. Exactly. And I think one of the long-term ramifications of what they did with the Doom campaigns to make it easier for people to get into Dark Dimension 3 is that the bottleneck is getting our characters to tier 13 and not tier 14 right now.
Yeah, and with that being the case, you know, you have to now make a decision. Okay, well, because of the bottleneck on some of that orange gear, right? You now have to make a decision. Okay, am I gonna go to gear tier 13? Probably not. I'm gonna go to gear tier 12. And the only time I'm gonna bring somebody up to gear tier 13 is if I'm gonna bring them up to 14, because otherwise I just know I'm not gonna be able to get this gear back. That's where you're at.
Yeah, this they need to look at their whole system and long term and have some long term plays. It seems like they're just issues that come up. All right, let's do this and solve this and give them that, and then they not look at their long term ramifications of what is going on with this character availability. I'm jumping all over the place because
that's all right.
I can't see you. Training modules. We're talking about the store. What is your prediction? What store do you think this is gonna go into? Or stores, hopefully it's stores.
I would hope. See, it's for me selfishly, I would say Blitz store or Raid store, right? I think
that's where everybody wants one of those two.
Yeah, but I would say, like, for beginner earlier players, mid game players, that's going to be a horrible area for them to go in, because you, if you're a mid game player, you're still farming a bunch of characters in that store that you need for, you know, getting unlocking legendaries, you know, or at least open up blitz orbs to get characters to unlock legendaries. You still have to get, you're probably pushing, once you get to that mid game point, you're pushing into war. You may need to be doing more war attacks. So you might be buying war currency there. So that might not help them. And same thing with the raid store too. It's 1400 to target farm a character. And then if you go to go orbs, and then you also have other gear in there. So that's the one that probably is, would work out the best for everyone, but
I know still the raid would work them. Out for me, but what are you doing right now on your brand new account in that raid store? Is that going to hurt you as a, on exactly. your new account with the, if it goes to the raid store? Cause
yes,
I personally, I got a crap load of raid credits that I'm not even spending on a daily basis because I don't know what to spend it on, but what are you farming there? Sorry.
Yeah. So basically in the raid store right now, on my baby account, I am opening up a bunch of orbs because I can't even get enough credits to target farm characters, which in general, I don't even want to target farm.
I think newer players should be opening orbs in those stores than not target farming. But
it's hard to, when the blitz store, you can kind of mix and match, you know, because I'm target farming Rhino, and then I'm also opening up some orbs, you know, every now and again. Every time, sometimes I had the opportunity to farm Rhino and then farm Electro because he's now in that store too, right?
Yeah,
and a good beginner team. But yeah, it's just one of those things where, and here's the thing, right? I'm gonna take a step back at this and look at this, you know, sort of like objectively for a second. You probably won't really be looking to buy those mats yet as a beginner player, because you're probably going to have enough, because you don't have enough characters to even level up anyways.
Ah, good point. Yeah, less characters.
Yeah, so you'll probably be fine. It's just once you progress and get a little bit further on into the game and you have to start doing blitz sim, and you got to use more characters, because once you get to level 60, you're doing blitz sim, and then you get to RTA, you need to have a wider roster, like stuff like that, you know, is where the chokehold might come if they don't increase the amount of currency that you're getting, you know, in those stores.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, man. Hopefully there's other ways they could add it. Hopefully there's more than one store that they add this to. I know it says one in here, but I'm hoping that changes in this blog post. We'll see what happens with it. I mean, as we know, things that are even official in the blog post can change from week to week, and we're going to discuss that in a little bit as well. All right. Let's talk about character availability. Now, this, I thought it was going to be about how often these characters are coming, but this is actually about when they can become farmable or fountainable, whatever word you want to use. And I guess it's kind of a joke word with the devs now and with us. But do you think that these characters are becoming farmable often or quick enough to make a difference?
So I'll say this. Technically, the characters are being farmable quick enough. It's just that the ones that we expect that would like to be farmable are not quickly as we desire for them to be, right? And for instance, Beast. You know, like Beast is not farmable. That's a character that we would like to be farmable, right? You know, things like that. You know, if you're gonna make Electro and Swarm farmable. Now, granted, I get it. They are for a legendary team because Doc Ock is there, so you kind of want them to be farmable, you know,
But so is Beast.
Exactly. Beast, and then there's Zemo. I know Zemo's is probably one of the better characters in the game in terms of just specifically like RTA war, right? But still, I mean, if you're following a calendar perspective, so there's probably a reality that they're not making them farmable quick enough. But then there's also the idea of they're also not following an order, and it doesn't always seem logical, you know, because why would, you know, Squirrel Girl is farmable, but didn't Beast come out around the same time when Squirrel Girl did? So that's just kind of the question that I have. I don't understand their system and what they're doing.
Really. I don't understand it as well, because by the time these characters become farmable, And we can farm them to get them to a usable point, they're kind of fallen out of the meta. They're not really as relevant as they were when they were initially released.
Oh, like Red Skull?
Red Skull. I mean, a bunch of other guys. I mean, you mentioned Squirrel Girl. She was awesome. And then Emma Frost came out and she's like, oh, she's even better. And then now the Young Avengers aren't not even that you don't see them all over the place anymore. So by the time we finally get these characters, I think it's a little late and we're not really able to enjoy these teams. You know, military skill team. Are they a good team? Maybe. I don't know. They're not at a usable level. I can't get them to counter the Marauders yet because they're so low. I don't have the gold stars on them. Some of these other teams, I don't know what's going to happen with this Shadowland team. When are Moon Knight and White Tiger are going to become farmable to get them to a usable place to actually counter the Black Order like the like we've seen in the videos? I don't know. And will they even be relevant at that point when we finally get them to a place that they can become farmable?
Right.
They may be falling out of meta by the time we get them and just be not a thing. So is there really an incentive to buy these characters, to build these characters before they become farmable, to build these teams if they're going to just delay these characters and not not make them relevant? So I think their cadence does need to be adjusted. It doesn't feel as good if you buy a character and not able to use them until they become farmable because you don't have the gold stars on them. And I think that we're kind of at that place that we need to get these stars on them, get them geared up to a certain point because they're releasing strong characters in the game. And to counter these strong characters, we need our characters that strong. And unless it's a team like the Axemen where you could punch up pretty big, you're going to need to be able to farm these characters sooner. Now, the Axemen, if they're not farmable right away, it's not as bad because they're usable at low levels, even at end game content. Yeah. But military skill, not really. Shadowlands, I don't think they're going to be usable until you get them built up as big. You're not able to get these big punch ups. So I think that's a big issue with this. Anything else about character availability before we move on to these Doom raids?
Nah, that's pretty much it. And you mentioned Shadowland. I mean, one of the biggest biggest things with Shadowlands for me is you got to get T4s with the three existing characters that were already in the game in order for them to even work properly with the Shadowland team. So it's also not necessarily, you know, I don't know. I would like at some point for there to be like a mid game earlier player team. Yes, maybe not good for later gameplay, which is probably what makes them not, you know, marketable, right? But still, it would be nice, you know, for them to be able to have a team where it's like, okay, cool, we can use this team without, you know, having to spend too much. I do think that to a certain extent, newer characters, yes, there should be a price tag on them, but I do think that, you know, it would be nice to see them kind of
that's how they make money, by releasing these new characters. There definitely should be a price tag. You get to play with these little toys for a little bit before everyone else does. I think that's proper. But to make them usable, they need to get to that usable point a lot quicker because it doesn't feel good. A lot of this is a lot of this isn't facts. It's about feeling. It just doesn't feel good about when we have these characters released. Exactly. And I do think that they should make some of these earlier teams a lot more accessible for newer players. Like, what are you working on right now on your baby account? What team are you working on right now?
So primarily right now it's Wave 1 Avengers. You know, Black Widow's not as easy to get because she's a three star unlock, but overall Wave 1 Avengers and Sinister Six, which I will say and I commend them for doing this, the Doom influence, that's changed a lot of the availability for these earlier characters. That's been very good, I think, for a lot of earlier players, especially now too that Electro and Swarm are options now, that you can feel secure knowing that, hey, I invested into Electro, I invested into Swarm. They might not have Doc Ock right now, but this is not wasted investment, you know, into these characters. So that I will commend them on for making that, you know, that team available. But for a long time, what was the beginner team, right? Defenders. And then Star-Lord, you know, took forever because you needed, at least depending on when you started, you might not be able to get him for 3, 4, 5 months depending on when you started the game, you know. So
that needs to change. You need to get some of these early teams, early characters. I think newer players need access to these early teams and early characters, especially the early legendaries, a lot sooner, especially these teams like the Guardians and Defenders that have fallen out of the meta. They could at least use these teams at the low levels for some of these low level raids and they'll be fine. But when it's it's hard to get those. So yeah, another so double drops for older characters as well to help newer players catch up to these teams that have kind of fallen out of the meta. Doom raids, very, very tough. Our alliance still has not tried it. Apparently, it's gotten a lot easier with the Axeman. Have you guys tried these Doom raids yet?
We're not even close.
Okay.
we're not even close.
Yeah, I mean, if they're permanent raids, which I guess they are, judging by this, and I was confused by that first strike thing, but it looks like with the permanent rewards, when they are here, we're going to get the next tier of ISO 8 coming, ISO 8 blue. Is this exciting for you that we're getting another ISO 8 blue, and do you expect this to be farmable in the campaigns, adding new chapters to ISO 8 campaigns, or just for finishing off these Doom raids, which I think is a lot of fear that the community is just that this is the only place they're going to be available.
Yeah, so that's my concern, but they didn't say that, right? They just said that they're going to be introducing it. So I'm not into Doom raids. So I'm not assuming. It didn't feel good at first. You know, like I said, we see these things initially, right? We get hot and, you know, we react to it immediately. And then you kind of take a step back and you process and you're like, well, they didn't say that was going to be the only place that they were going to be available. But words are important. So not saying anything else, you know, about tier twos bothers me a little bit.
We gotta wait for 3 weeks to find out about that.
Exactly, 3 weeks to find out. What I would hope, though, is that if they are going to be introducing tier twos, that they are also going to make ions for tier ones and things like that a little bit easier, you know, to get. That would be one of the things. And I would assume, too, that they're probably going to add some more ISO campaigns so that you can go ahead and get some of those. So I'm hoping that that's what they're going to do. I am actually excited for ISOs, because I'm going to be honest with you. I like the ISO system.
You like the system that was playtested for over a year, got a lot of feedback, changes were made, introduced to the game, and got good feedback. So you like that system. You like when things are tested.
Yeah, you realize how I served that one up to you, right?
Goodness, for you to respond. Surprising. It's so surprising that they test something, they get feedback, they take the feedback, implement the feedback, and it's a good game mode. It's surprising how that works. Surprising. Now, one thing that was not done at all with is this crap. The worst game mode I've probably ever played in any game. Bad. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. Season one, there was some issues, but I think season two got worse. And I think now season three with this quitting thing is even worse. All right. So before the update, this is the last update, when you would quit, you would still get to maintain your rewards. But the bad thing is when you quit, the match is over. Now they have the AI taking over, which is good, but you're getting punished for quitting. So despite their not really fixing the bad matchmaking, I think I played over an hour and I think I had one or two opponents in that hour that were TCP, their team's power were less than mine. Everybody else was over 100K over mine. So I was like, this is pointless.
Yeah.
Despite the bad matchmaking, we're not able to quit right now without being penalized, and we have to wait around until the opponent finishes the match. That's the only thing that they mentioned about Real-Time Arena, that they're reverting these bad changes so that season four will be like season two, and season three is just bad. What do you think they needed to address with Real-Time Arena? I mean, there's just so many issues. I don't know. That could be a whole nother hour video about all the issues with Real-Time Arena. What are some big things that are turning you off to Real-Time Arena right now?
Yeah, so the matchmaking is top of the line. And I'm glad that they actually acknowledged here in this that the reason why people are quitting is actually valid, right? Like, it's actually valid why people are quitting.
Because your matchmaking sucks, Copley. That's why people are quitting.
Exactly, right?
There's no knockouts, no objectives, there's nothing. And you're just in a bad...
Yeah, because they fixed the quitting issue, right? And that was the issue with the first season. But then when they changed everything over in season two to be more abilities-based, quitting wasn't necessarily the issue anymore, even though people still quit because of the bad matchmaking. But I'm not going in, oh, I got to get knockouts. I'm going to get my 225 knockouts anyways, right? I got to worry about the 600 abilities that they have. The other portion that I hate about RTA is their selection of abilities, right? Like I saw yesterday, Shadowland. What?
Goodness.
Yes. White Tiger and Moon Knight. Aren't even there.
You gotta use Elektra, Night Nurse, Daredevil combo. Awesome.
Yeah,
it's against the Black Order. It's so awesome. It's so awesome when I get those Night Nurse objectives that I gotta use her skills and she can't even get one off because it's there's so many issues with it. Bad. I am so disappointed that more wasn't addressed about RTA than just the quitting. They're reverting the changes, bringing season four back to season two. Nothing about how bad season three is going to be. This is so disappointing. This is all that was mentioned about this.
And this is what I look at a lot of the times, right? Because once again, you know, I make a lot of videos for beginners, players who are just, and they're players who are just entering into level 64 into RTA. Players who have probably only been playing the game for maybe 45 days or so. What chance do they have if you have Yelena as an objective for a weekly? What chance do you have if you have, you know, Kitty Pryde as an objective, like how I had Kitty Pryde last week, like or this
trash
week?
Like, game mode. Trash mode. It's a trash game mode. This is bad. The concept, the idea of it was okay, but the execution, they needed to play test this more, work out all these bugs. We're in season three, and it still sucks. It's getting worse and worse and worse. It's not taking your feedback, making it better. It's taking your feedback, changing one aspect, leaving other aspects. It's getting worse and worse and worse. Real-time arena is horrible. Raid milestones, this is good. We talked about this briefly. My reaction to this is so bad for so long. I forgot how bad these were.
Yeah.
I'm glad they mentioned this. But anything about these raid milestones that you have to comment on?
No, this is actually really good. I actually appreciated this a lot because, I mean, how quickly are you finishing raid milestones in like 3 hours when it starts?
It's Sunday. It's done by Sunday.
Right.
When it resets. So, yeah, it definitely needs to be looked at. I forgot how bad this was because of all these other issues.
But here's my concern, though. I'm going to tell you what my concern is. You know
what is the concern?
Remember with Blitz milestones, right? Uh-huh. That they expanded Blitz milestones to be more milestones, but they didn't actually increase the rewards that you were getting from those milestones. I hope they don't do that with raid milestones. That's just one of the things I got to say. I know it's negative again, but Jesus, I just got to, because they've done it before.
Yeah. I mean, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice. You can't fool the man again.
Right.
Anyway. All right. Bugs. Thor's hammer was the one that they mentioned. And they said they've been looking for this bug for months. It's been a significant source of frustration. They don't know. They've been investigating for several months. We know this is happening. We don't know what a way to stop. So Tony Scangeli, when I was talking to him about this, says this bug is caused by the Ice Away Striker class on Thor. The AI does not know what to do. It's been diagnosed, Scopely. Go look towards that. But there's some other bugs that we were talking about before this began that have not been even addressed. One of them was with Black Panther. And that also had to do when ISO 8 came around. He was getting a lot of speed and getting extra speed if someone assists. He's not getting that anymore. So he got a significant nerf with ISO 8. That has not even been addressed by the devs ever. So I hope that gets looked at. It's been brought up to them in the Envoy chat many times and not responded. Other thing that's been brought up last week, and I'll let you describe this one. It is the healer ISO 8 class in war. I guess maybe not in war, but tell me about this one, because this is one I don't know if it's been brought up many times. It's been brought up in the Envoy chat. There's been videos in the Envoy chat.
Yep.
Hasn't been brought up publicly. I don't know if this one's getting a lot of traction. So what is going on with this ISO 8 healer bug?
Yeah, so I think it's only at level 5 where you have...
I think you're correct on that one.
Yeah, level 5 healer ISO. So primarily on characters like Doc Ock and also on Emma. They already are just... crazy with level 5 anything, right? And especially healer because of their high health pools anyways. But what's happening is that it's almost like they're healing when they're not supposed to, and they, for whatever reason, they don't lose the regeneration, so it just stays there. So pretty much for the most part, they're just constantly healing. It never goes away. It's hard for you to be able to get through them. It's taken like multiple teams and Emma in general can solo an entire team anyway. So this, yeah. You know, it just makes it even worse. It's almost impossible for you to be able to get through it.
And not been fixed, been brought up to the devs, not addressed, no warning from the devs, say, hey, this is going on, be careful in war, no response. But if this was giving out cores or shards, immediately, right?
Right.
It would not take months for them to investigate it. It would be like, boom, we're shutting this down. You can figure this out. It's not working until then. Fix your bugs, Scopely. In addition to all these other stuff, let's talk about save squads, though. Everybody needs more save squads. I've needed more save squads since we didn't have save squads day one. Ever since they released save squads, I've needed more.
Right.
They plan to add more in the next game version, which is good. They're also be planning to additional information regarding save squad enhancements in the 2021 preview. Now, Cerebro said that when I was talking to him, they're looking for a band-aid approach, which I guess is these save squads, and they're looking for more of a finished approach to fixing it, which would cost more man hours. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking we're getting the band-aid in this next game version. Then I'm thinking we're getting the save squad enhancements. I'm looking forward to seeing what they would be in the 2021 preview. I'm hoping that this means that they're finally fixing save squads once and for all, fixing whatever data issues they're having with all these save squads and not doing the band-aid like they've been doing for the past couple years. What are you expecting from the save squads announcements?
So, honestly, I just feel like they're just going to add like another 5 slots. Honestly, that's really all I don't think they're going to do
for the next game version. But what about in the 2021 preview? What do you think? What do you think this means? Do you think this is the big fix that they've been talking about, or I don't know, tabs, maybe something small?
My hope, because we've said this, the content, the envoys, the content creator community, every player on players on Reddit, we've said it multiple times. Facebook, everything. All corners of the community, all right? We've all been asking for tabs.
All of them.
Tabs. I don't even care if you increase the slots. You don't even need to increase the slots. Leave it at 30. Give me tabs. I'm cooling. I'm good if you do
that. Whoa. Not like a tab of 5 and 5 and 5. I want a tab of 30. Exactly. That's what I want. All right. As long as we're on the same page with that. All right. Now, they're talking. We discussed these issues, but there were a lot of things that were left out. Even the alliance leader clusters, leaders that were that submitted feedback to the devs. They said a lot of things that they submitted were left out, and there's some things that they didn't even bring up. What was your biggest issues that were not brought up in this thing, in this blog post?
I have a few, man. So blitz shards was one, you know,
blitz shards,
I
think. Or just fixing blitz, whether it be shards or running multiple blitz or something, some way to fix blitzes, especially for newer players, because I'm thinking that experience for you as a new on your new account is very different from your mid game account, and it's probably not fun if you're past that 30 day window out of that new player blitz shard, right?
Yeah, so they've expanded it now, I think, to level 60. I think level 60 is when you unlock blitz sim, so I think that's when you get out of that beginner blitz shard, but then you get thrown into the wolves, you know, which that happens pretty quickly, right? Because it's like, what, 60 days basically, and you are automatically facing a player that's 60, you're 60 days, and you're facing someone that's been playing a game for 1100 days. That is bananas. Bananas, you know. And while I admit, you know, and I will say this, I don't think that, hey, you should probably, you know, be able to compete or get every new character, you know, whatever. But I think that it would be a little bit better if you were competing against someone that's been playing for 300 days as opposed to playing, or 500 days as opposed to competing against someone that's been playing for 1,000 days. You have no shot, like nothing, no chance.
Yeah, the shards. I mean, they're in the arena already. That seems like a very simple solution. Yep. Maybe not dividing up everybody in blitz based on their TCP, but it seems like a solution that's already in the game. The other thing that I like that is in Contest of Champions that I've heard from the community and a bunch of other people is multiple blitzes running at once. I think that would be fun. You know, if this bishop blitz, newer players can't really use bishop, but Maybe they need Hela or Vision or someone. Run those concurrently. That would benefit newer mid-game players, like, immediately. And or maybe a Cull on Bishop or something like that. Couple different blitzes where you got to choose, and you know, so it limits the pool. So new players are going for this, mid game players are going for this, end game players are going for the latest character as well. All right, you didn't mention the big one. I thought you were going to mention this one first. Red Stars. What did you want to see about Red Stars? Or did you want to see them mention Red Stars at all? It was not even mentioned. It's crazy. That is the biggest thing that's been hurting the game for years, and a lot of these decisions, the short-sighted fixes, didn't really fix the underlying issue of Red Stars on any of them. What do you want to see from these Red Stars in this 2021 blog post that's coming out in a couple weeks?
Yeah, so that was actually on my list. I was going to talk about that one later.
That's a big one.
It's a big one, though. So let's talk about it now. No, yes. Red Stars, for real, I hate the Red Star system. I think the reason why I'm taking a step back on Red Stars. I don't like them. I think it's a terrible progression system. You're releasing characters way too quickly. We can't even obtain enough Red Stars to even open them up for new characters, you know,
promotion just to make credits them, not, are crap. Not even to get them strong, just to get them usable.
Just to get them usable.
Just a usable level. Yeah.
Right. I ran out of Red Stars. I could only get two reds on Jubilee. Like that was it for me, you know? Ouch. And you know, I'm looking at things like promotional credits. I mean, Chaos Theory, cool. You're still not rewarding enough promotional credits. How long is it going to take for you to be able to get 50 credits where you can promote a character from 3 to 4? Like, you're not really getting enough of those. So there's a lot of things that they need to fix with Red Stars. But the reason why I took a step back on it is because of ISOs. Because ISOs, I think, at some point are going to outclass Red Stars anyway. So I'm just like, yeah, I mean,
that's what sucks. I've been hearing. That's what I've been hearing as the solution. So hopefully that they maybe we'll find out something about ISOs in the next blog post with those blue ISOs that make Red Stars obsolete. And maybe that's why they didn't address. I mean, I'm trying to be optimistic, crossing my fingers, but Red Stars are so bad.
They're really terrible.
My goodness.
They're really terrible.
Ketchup mechanics also not mentioned as well. Yep. From your new account, what kind of ketchup mechanics do you think is needed in this game right now for brand new players?
Yeah, so I would think, you know, not for newer characters, right? But like some what about some of the older characters that are very usable, right? You know, I think about a BH 2.0 team. You know, I think about, you know, that's very good now, right? For can be good for beginner players, but it also can be very good, you know, as a war offense team, some Greek raids, you know, for earlier players. I'm just thinking things like shards for characters that have been in the game for a long time. Just a little bit more ease for them. Yeah, you know, double drops, things like that. You know, I think about the ability mats again, the T2s. I think that you should be able to get big drops of those in some of these campaign nodes, because it takes a while for you. I mean, on a previous account, you know, I was in an alliance that was doing U7. Granted, I was only probably about 50 days into the game, but I was not getting any. Number one, I was not able to compete, but I was excited about the T4s and the T3s that I was getting, but I couldn't get any T2s. So I feel like there should be a way for players to be able to get their T2s a little bit more frequently, you know, so that they can use those other catalysts. You know, like the ABCs are tough, like, you know, especially now that you have to build out a wider roster earlier in the game now. You know, ABCs are tough. Other catalyst, you know, pieces are tough too. You know, just things like that, I think, would be better and helpful for catch-up mechanics. You know, you shouldn't be punished because, you know, as an earlier player, you got into an alliance that's more advanced, right? They're willing to help you out. You shouldn't be punished for that. Ability orbs, those suck. You need to change those big time. They're an absolute joke. So I think some rework to those ability orbs would also be, you know, quite helpful, I think, too, as well.
That was a huge one. The other big one that I kind of mentioned was real-time arena. We talked about that already. Any other big omissions that you would have liked to see covered in this blog post?
I mean, gold. that's one that
bottlenecks. I think a little more.
The bottleneck for gold would definitely be good. I feel like I will say this. We have been getting more gold. They have made some adjustments to getting more gold, but they did that before level 75 was introduced.
Yeah.
Now level 75 is introduced, you know, went to 80. Well, so it's like, well, we're kind of feeling the same strain now again. Can you increase some more gold and training mats, right? Those are the two ones that I would like. They mentioned training modules. We'll see how those work out. But gold is another one I think that's pretty big on the list.
Yeah, I think bottlenecks. I mean, when we're talking about the what we're looking for, the early 2021 blog post, bottlenecks I think is big. Obviously, red stars, real time arena, blitz mechanics, just the progression systems, being able to progress our characters, because that feels good. This is a hero collector game. It feels good when our characters get stronger, we're able to tackle harder content.
Yeah. This one too. I forgot this one. Legendary Cadence.
Oh my goodness. I was going to talk about that with Black Bolt. Let's get into that now.
I'm sorry.
Don't worry. Anything else. I'm going to talk about that Black Bolt though. This Legendary Cadence is... The switches. This is why anything in the blog post, they could switch the very next week.
Yeah.
anything else. Catch-up mechanics, the training mats, the gold... all the ability mats, all levels, especially the earlier ones. Maybe not specifically the T4s, but the T1, 2, and 3s definitely for the newer definitely players and allowing them to catch up. I think those need to be increased a lot. Character shards, doubling them, especially for the older characters. Any character released at beta should have double drops at their at their current farming. So if they're in Blitzstore, instead of 5, you're getting 10. If they're in a note, instead of getting 2 per drop, you're getting 4. Arena store, just double everything for these year 1 characters at beta, and maybe extending that out to all the characters in year 1, just so newer players can catch up quicker. I would like to see a lot of that addressed. Anything else that you want to see addressed when this 2021 blog post comes out?
I think that's it, you know, for now. Oh, but this, I forgot, character release methods. Stop with the blitzes.
Blitz, you don't like blitz for 100 character shards? Because Blitz Sim is so fair for mid-game players, right?
Oh my God. I'm stop with the blitz releases. You gave us Blitz Sim, and then you said, well... Get wrecked, because you are going to have to blitz every week now.
Yeah. Here's Blitz Sim. Set a timer on your phone, because you're going to have to do this every 2 hours. And in addition to that, here's real-time arena. So you got to spend a lot of time on your phone as well. So enjoy, Commanders.
Right, exactly.
All right, moving on. Black Bolt, the legendary event, is returning. Or so it says in this blog post here, because I guess it's never for sure until it's for sure, because we could get an announcement later today that, we've made a mistake. Black Bolt is not returning. It's going to be Magneto. That's the next alternative event.
Right.
But at least according to this, Black Bolt is returning. There's been a miscommunication in the last one. They're running a special version of the Black Bolt calendar for 10 shards of each Asgardian calendar or each Asgardian character. And surprise, we've got some login calendars from the future. Boom, we see it already. We see Thor with a 10, Loki with a 10. Then we see Heimdall, Hela, then Sif. And then we got Thor again and then Loki again, as to be expected. But yes, it's already out. And I think, not sure, but I think if this legendary calendar is out already for some players, I think that means we're getting Black Bolt next week. But I don't know. What are your thoughts? Do you think seeing this calendar, we're definitely getting Black Bolt, or there was another miscommunication with this calendar and with the blog post from last week?
Well, I'm assuming that with the calendar, I guess they're tied to it now, right? You can't change it.
Hopefully. I don't know. Nothing's guaranteed.
And this one sucks, man, because I know there's a lot of players who are like, I'm going to get Black Bolt because he's going to come back in never mind. No, I'm not. Eddie Warry.
Or in reverse, the people that were trying to get Magneto, trying to get Invisible Woman, and now that is thrown off for them as well. I mean, just... And especially when they announced Star-Lord. They announced Star-Lord in the blog post. And it's like, all right, let me go my Guardians hard. I'm like, what did I do that for? Why did I do that?
Star-Lord's still valuable. Like, I mean, I know we're telling players, hey, build now for long term. So Wave 1 Avengers is better, right? Hands down. But at the same time, like, if Star-Lord and the Guardians team are still good, like, they're still get you through all the way up to Ultimate 6 difficulty 3, right? And Star-Lord can be used in Dark Dimension 2. That's a pretty far way to go.
Anywhere you need an energy battery, Star-Lord is still good.
Yeah.
Dark Dimension 2, I think that Ultron unlock is super important, and Star-Lord is one of the characters that can do that.
Right.
Combined with Minerva. Yep. Yeah. So this still a good character, but that just falls off a lot. But I think newer and mid game players should be still getting Star-Lord and building them up. Let's talk about the rest of the blog posts, though. The second blog post from last week, the Royal Couple. This leads to another question. We got double drops for Black Panther, double drops for Storm. Why does Storm not have a Wakanda tag right now? She's kind of off of that Uncanny X-Men team. Kind of a homeless character. Killmonger got moved off of the Wakandans. Why isn't Storm getting that Wakanda tag? Just giving her that Wakanda tag and making her abilities also synergize with Wakandans instead of just X-Men, I think that would get her usable, and that Wakanda team could be pretty usable in the race. Maybe not the premier raid team, but okay. I mean, what do you feel about this combo? What do you feel about Storm finally getting that Wakanda tag? I mean, they mentioned here, they call her the Queen of Wakanda right here, which they've never done before. So why doesn't she have that tag?
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty interesting. Obviously, it's the nod to Black History Month, right? So I mean, that's appreciated, but you're right. I mean, she's homeless right now, and she's not homeless in the terms of like Vision homeless, right? Vision still has some use. I see a lot of people putting them with like Pym Tech, and so there's some use with Vision, right?
Yeah.
You have some use with CM because she's still plug and play. You can put on Skill Military. You can put her with the Young Avengers. I mean, she's still usable, right? You can put her with Kree if you want to. I digress on that last one, but the point about it is like Storm is not that good to just go on any team. You need her to have some sort of a synergy or tag somewhere, and it would be nice to see her have some sort of synergy with Wakandans, especially because Killmonger's not there anymore. A lot of people are using them with Mercs. I'm using them with Mercs. I'm not going to change that, so it'd be nice to see her get some sort of synergy and some use. I'm feeling like if you do it this way, I guess I'm okay with it. But I'm like, are we going to be waiting until Apocalypse comes in and then she becomes a fourth horseman? Is that what we're going to do? I don't know. That's a long time coming. Man.
That's still relying on another character to make her good, though, unfortunately. Instead of giving her a rework, they made Beast make her a little better. Now Beast is off that team. Right. And then she's just as bad as she was when she was released. And I was never a fan of all those charges and then using it up on the special, using it up on the ultimate. And then she's just basic all the time. And it's just, and I was never a fan of her kit. Beast made her less bad, and now he's gone. Yes. And I don't know where to use Storm. So yeah, it would be nice to have her come back into that usable level with the Wakandans, especially because they call her the Queen of Wakanda right here. Right. Come on. They know she should have the tag, and they're not doing maybe? It. Huh? What is that?
Hint. I said hint. Maybe. Hint,
maybe that's something else we look for in the blog post. All right, blitzes. We got the second Iceman blitz coming up this week. And it switched to the blitz schedule. Bishop, we've seen some crazy scores. Almost 40 million for this Bishop blitz. Iceman blitz, his first iteration of his blitz was 36 million. What do you think? What do you think is going to happen for the second blitz now that people know, I got to get serious through here. I got to really blitz hard for this character. Do you think this score is going to go up, or are people more apathetic at this point with the whole blitz right now?
I think the one of the few excitements in the game right now is the Axeman team. And yes, you have to blitz to get, some more, shards for him. But I do think that's one of the few excitements, I think, in this game right now, and I think people are going to blitz or Iceman. I'm definitely going to be pushing again, probably going to go for that 2-3% again, to be able to get those shards to finish him off, to get into 5 gold. I pull 5 reds on him, so I think those numbers are going to be pretty high again.
40? What are you trying to get 40?
I can probably get like 26, 27 mil, and that's okay. Enough for like 2 to 3, I think.
Oh, that might just get you to 2-3%. You might have to go a little higher for that 2-3% on this one, because people are probably going to be going crazy this weekend.
I think I only need to get to 4-10, but I'm going to shoot to try to get to 2-3 because I think numbers are going to be pretty high. So that's kind of where I'm going with it.
Gotcha. All right. Now, it's not all doom and gloom. We have Payday returning this week.
Yes. I'm super excited, actually.
Payday is coming back. What are you going to spend your gold on? I know you said you don't normally spend gold too much. What are your plans this week for your gold influx that you're getting with these Payday?
Yeah. So typically when I get days like Gold Rush days, Mondays, you know, Thursdays, Sundays, you know, those days where we do blitzes, like, well, which is actually the same day as Monday and Thursdays, but you get the point. typically on those days, that's normally when I spend a little bit more gold. So it's all going to be going to my Axeman team right now. I got a couple characters that I would like to be able on that team that I'd like to be able to get to 71. So probably Beast, Jubes, and, you know, Bishop. So probably going to be over a couple of days because I got to save training mats too, right? Over a couple of days, that's where I'm going to be spending my gold.
All right. Well, I don't know what I'm going to spend my gold on. I have a lot of gold. I need training mats. I wish it was a training mat bonus event.
Right.
Because even if I got gold, I still can't level my characters. All right. Final thing. I normally talk about some speculation. This video went a little longer than I expected, though. We did have a lot to talk about. There's a lot that happened this past week. But WandaVision. I am liking that show. The first three episodes were really good. Like, what is going on? Now we're starting to see more things that are going on. Did you see episode 6 this past week?
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. It is spoiler time. If you have not seen episode 6, I will see you guys next week. Make sure you check out some of my other videos. But if you have, we're going to discuss WandaVision very quickly, a lot quicker than I thought, and what it could mean for Marvel Strike Force. So, Quicksilver, Wiccan, Speed becoming characters in that show now. What do you think this means for Marvel Strike Force? And what do you think this means in terms of the show? What is going on with Vision?
Man, so I'm just hoping that they're gonna introduce these characters at some point in time to the game, because man, this show got me. I feel like a complete geek just watching the show right now, and I'm completely cool with it. I'm 100% cool with it.
I love it. It's cool to be a geek sometimes.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I love what's going on. If you haven't seen the most recent episode, I mean, I'm sorry.
No, everybody is here seen it. We've done the spoiler warning already.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
hopefully
you clicked off already if you don't want to hear it. But no, this one right here, the one where Vision, I'm just curious what's going to happen next episode. He knows what's going on now. Like, he knows.
He always did, but he got reset, right? He would get reset by Scarlet Witch, and he was like, oh. All right, couple questions on it. Monica Rambeau, she is going to go meet her engineer guy. Who do you think that is? I've seen speculation of Mr. Fantastic, Dr. Doom, Beast. And then another thing that makes it interesting, in episode 5, when she was talking about this engineer, the translations for the Portuguese and the Spanish version use the feminine form of that word. So is it a female? Is it not even a male? Because she said guy in episode 6. Could mean male, could be just mean person. Who do you think this engineer is?
Oh, so I went way back to the archives. I thought it was going to be Blue Marvel. Like, I went all the way back. Because
that's not a popular character. Part of the Ultimates, though, and part of that Future Fight release that wasn't so good. So, yes, not one of the characters that people are speculating a lot about. But that would be an interesting choice.
The reason why I thought about it is because in one of the episodes, right, where they mentioned, what about Captain Marvel? You know, she had a reaction to it, right? Like, that was like, she paused, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm like, Captain Marvel seems too obvious. But then I thought about Marvel, and I'm like, what about Blue Marvel? You know, she didn't have a relationship. She didn't have a relationship with Blue Marvel in the comics. And most likely when the blip happened, because she snapped, she probably lost that relationship. So maybe the Marvel was her reaction to maybe a relationship that she might have lost. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
Let me know. What you guys are thinking down below, guys, because I think a lot of these scenarios are very, very likely. And yes, are they going to use it to tease some other things that could be upcoming? Are they going to introduce brand new characters that I don't know how they're going to be used in the MCU? Maybe they go to the sorcerer type realm with the Doctor Strange type universe, because I think some people were talking about that as well. But let me know your thoughts, guys. And that is about it for me right now. Goofy, my brother, thank you for joining me on this strange news episode. I know we couldn't see each other today, but hopefully things, internet, weather, everything will be back to normal. I hope you guys are doing well out there. If you guys have lost power, hopefully it comes on soon, and hopefully your internet is good. Goofy, thank you once again. Tell everybody where they could find you, and if you have any big promotions or any big events coming up.
Yeah, so you guys can find me on YouTube, Goofy Rexy, also on Twitch as well. I stream weekly, 3 days a week, 4 streams a week. So you guys can catch me there. And this week from we're actually in week 6 now, I think, of the beginner series. So we're going to be posting an update here for the beginner series on Saturday. Also, come check out my weekly headliner. I do that every week on Mondays as well. So just talk about what's going to be upcoming in this week, and then we recap, you know, some of the stuff that happened in the previous week as well. So I release that on Mondays also. But yeah, come check me, guys. Come check me.
Nice. So links are down below, guys. Make sure you subscribe to him. Make sure you check him out on Twitch. He's 3 times a week. I will see you guys next time. Thank you for watching this time on your Marvel Strike Force weekly news update. If you're listening to the podcast version, give it a good rating on whatever platform you're listening to. Check out some of my other videos on YouTube, guys. Make sure you subscribe. And Goofy, before you go, I know you can't see me, but give me that Hulk fist bump in that camera, brother. Goofy.
Let's go.
And Valley out.